Joining me today is Chris McCann. We're having a little chat before we put the microphones on today, so it's nice to know that you're fitting well.
And you too, Howard.
Yes. So, let's get on with it. Then, many British people who retired in Spain were able to buy their dream property here. They got the profit from their UK home, enabling them to buy a larger property here with a spare bedroom for visiting family, and a pool maybe, large garden, and all those summer long days. But as the years go by, should the time come for them to admit about downsizing, for either practical or financial purposes, or both? So we're going to explore these issues today with Blevins Frank's Chris McCann, and particularly the financial angles. So first of all, Chris, what are the potential financial benefits of keeping your larger home?
Well, with hindsight, and hindsight is a wonderful thing, I think the main financial benefit of having owned a larger home is that a larger home will typically have risen in value by more than a smaller home. Other benefits may be that if you have extra space in your larger property, you might be able to rent it out to generate rental income. Or if your property offers opportunities for expansion or development, you might be able to build additional structures such as a guest house or rental unit, which could also generate additional income or increase the property's overall value.
Of course, the downsizes of keeping a large property comes with high maintenance costs, especially if you've got to look after the garden and the swimming pool.
Yeah, you know, it does. And generally, the larger the property, the more expensive the running costs, mortgage payments, rates, utility bills, maintenance expenses, they can all add up to generate a relatively high ongoing burden. I recently sat down with a couple of clients who were concerned that they were quickly burning through their cash deposits. And as they own a relatively high value property, I suggested that we sit down and calculate what they needed each year to run the house. We looked at everything, urbanization fees, property taxes, utility bills, gardening and pool cleaning costs. And in the round, the total they needed each year was around €80,000. Now I appreciate that not everybody is going to need this amount. Some people will need less and some people will need more. But what this exercise did highlight was two important things. Firstly, that the associated costs were a lot higher than they thought they were. And in the main, because they'd not appreciated the impact of recent rises in inflation. Secondly, and I think more concerning, was that given their overall financial position, they would likely not be able to cover these costs and fund their current lifestyles for very much longer. Now for these clients, they decided to downsize, not only for financial reasons, but also because the house was becoming too much work. It was too large. The children had left. It was just the two of them. And so, as I say, it was more a lifestyle decision as well. But look, for any listeners who find themselves in a similar situation, I think weighing up the benefits of owning a larger property against the costs of owning a larger property is a useful exercise.
So how common is it when you're talking to your many retired expatriates who own a lovely property, but then they say they're having trouble having enough disposable income in their later years?
Yeah, it's common, and it's becoming more and more common. As I said, inflation, the costs of maintaining properties is becoming higher than it was. And I think we're kind of when you're referring to these types of people, I think you're referring to people who are asset rich and cash poor. And as I say, I do meet a lot of retired expatriates who find themselves in this position. Firstly, I can understand why this is. Steady property price rises, and the allure of bricks and mortar have seen property become a very popular investment asset. And consequently, people have been tempted to maximize what they can borrow and tend to tie up as much as possible in their main home and in some cases in second and third homes. Whilst this can typically be maintained whilst you're working, I find that the pressures start to appear and build once you've been retired for a few years. As properties are not cheap to run, rising expenses slowly become a larger and larger part of your disposable retirement income. And I think it's fair to say that recent rises in inflation have brought this into sharp focus for a lot of people, and what was previously affordable is no longer so. So whilst your property might have been a great investment, and it may be worth a lot more than what you paid for it, if you have a more limited income in retirement and the cost of maintaining the property is draining your resources, it's important to remember that property is a relatively illiquid asset. And if you suddenly were to need access to your capital, you might not be able to sell it easily, nor for the right price.
So what are the benefits in moving some of your wealth from property to investments like equities and bonds?
I think it can offer several advantages. As I've just mentioned, property is a relatively illiquid asset, whilst equities and bonds are more liquid and can be easily bought and sold, allowing for quicker access to cash if needed. By diversifying into equities and bonds, you're also spreading risk across different asset classes, potentially reducing the overall risk in your portfolio. As regards returns, historically, equities have shown the potential for higher returns over the long term compared to real estate. At the same time, bonds can provide regular interest payments, offering a good source of consistent income. Finally, I would say that from a practical point of view, managing a portfolio of equities and bonds it can be less hands-on compared to managing a property, which requires maintenance and other property management responsibilities. But before I finish, I want to make it clear I'm not suggesting that listeners should be rushing to sell all their properties and move the proceeds into equities and bonds. As we've discussed on many occasions, what I'm suggesting is that you plan ahead and try to ensure you always have a balanced financial position, which is going to be suitable for the remainder of your lives. What I mean by that is a position where your wealth is well diversified across different asset classes that provide different benefits. A position where you can generate sufficient income to provide for your ongoing expenditure requirements. A position where you have access to capital at short notice in case of an emergency. And a position where you are minimizing your liabilities to tax, thereby protecting your wealth for you and your future heirs.
Are there any tax implications for owning high-value property, or perhaps more than one property?
I think it's fair to say that, generally speaking, owning property is not tax-efficient, and a simple rule of thumb to use is that the higher the value of the property you own, the more tax you're likely to pay. When you own a property in Spain, local taxes such as IBI, which is the Spanish equivalent of council tax, will always be based on the official value of the property. Hence, a higher value property will attract higher taxes. It's also the case that capital gains tax will generally increase with the property's price tag. However, I think it's important to mention here that if you're over 65 and the property you are selling qualifies as your main home, meaning that if you've lived in it for at least 3 years as a tax-paying resident of Spain, you can potentially sell your main home without tax. Hence, if you do find yourself in the position of being property rich and cash poor, this might provide an opportunity to move yourself to a better financial position. Just going back to the taxes payable, in addition, in Spain, as we've discussed on many occasions, Spain has historically had some form of a wealth tax. At present, the situation is a little confusing because at a regional level, some regions still have wealth tax and some don't. And at a national level, we simultaneously have what is called solidarity tax. I'm not going to go into details, but regardless, it's the case that owning higher value properties can easily tip you over the threshold for wealth tax. And whilst wealth tax rates seem relatively low, when applied to relatively high property values, it can quite easily add thousands to your tax bill.
Could downsizing property prove to be more tax efficient for yourself and your heirs?
Howard, I'm afraid there's no simple answer to that question. Spanish tax is complex, especially if you need to consider the tax regime in your home country and how your home country and another country and how the two interact. Everybody's situation is different and the rules change over the years. So taking specialist advice to establish what you could do to minimize your tax liabilities, I think, is a must. However, it is the case that legal and legitimate structures do exist, which, when compared to owning a property, provide significantly better protection from taxes in general. Whilst I can understand that many listeners are comfortable retaining property, whether it be in Spain or the UK or elsewhere, current and likely increasing tax liabilities associated with owning property mean that it might be worth looking at alternatives.
So overall, what's your advice to someone who's wondering if they would be better off moving to a smaller property? How do they go up weighing the pros and the cons, and then investing the proceeds to suit their needs?
I don't suppose it's going to be any surprise to our regular listeners, but before you make such an important decision, as always, I think it would be very sensible to invest an hour or two of their time meeting with a local Blevins Franks partner to weigh up the pros and the cons. Listeners can visit our website at blevinsfranks.com, where they can access the contact details of their local Blevins Franks partner. And alternatively, on the website, they can complete a contact form and somebody from Blevins Franks will be in contact to arrange the most appropriate next steps.
Well, many thanks, Chris. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, Howard. I look forward to it.